voice of reason in the medical world. Dr. Fred Brown from Griffin Health talks to Melissa in the morning on WICC 600.
Good morning, Dr. Brown. I heard that President Biden is looking to reach 70% of U.S. adults with the COVID vaccine by July 4th. Is that a lofty goal, or do you think we can do it?
I think it's lofty, but I think, you know what, I think we can do it. I think we just need to continue to get the, you know, the science out there, you know, and let people know that this is, you know, safe. It's a lot safer. I think this is the time where, you know, the people who, you know, said it when it initially came out, I'm just going to wait and see what happens. I think they're ready to get it now.
Mm-hmm. I mean, what I think is interesting, Dr. Brown, and please, you know, comment on this, but, you know, the president is saying, look, I want to reach places where the hard to reach populations. I want to open up more community health centers with walk up clinics, which I think that's important. But I mean, to reach that goal of 70% of U.S. adults being vaccinated, I have to imagine, at least from my reporting and what I'm finding, I don't think this is necessarily hard to reach populations not wanting to get the vaccine. I feel like these are populations that have false information, follow social media or something. Like, this is younger generations that I'm finding state to state just are reluctant to get the vaccine.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. And I think that's where it comes, is that, you know, are we going to get to a point where you can get a vaccine, you know, at every corner, but yet people just don't want to get it because of the misinformation that's out there, the lack of understanding, not only what it does and the importance that, you know, we need to all, you know, really, really bond together in this,
mm-hmm.
to prevent this from happening and end it around the world.
You know, and Dr. Brown, maybe this sounds like a really funny question, but I'm going to ask it anyways. A lot of times on my show, I will bring up the difference between, like, when polio was around.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of my listeners can relate to that because they said, you know, when we had a vaccine for polio, you couldn't line us up fast enough. And that's virtually why polio doesn't exist. What has changed? Is it the fact that we have social media and that's gotten in the way? Like, why don't people trust doctors? Why are there so many questions? Why are there so many conspiracy theories? Because I do believe we could have knocked out COVID by now, but there are too many people who are just reluctant to get the vaccine.
Yeah, that's a great question, and I'm probably not the expert to answer that. unfortunately, that does go a little bit out of my realm. You know, I can give you sort of my thoughts, sometimes it's this perpetuation of misinformation.
Mm.
You know, people hear things and say, oh, geez, this is what's going on. You know, we are in the Dr. Google age, and sometimes that's a real issue,
mm-hmm.
you know. And again, I think it works on both sides. It's not just sort of the public, but I think we as a profession need to make sure that we are clear and transparent on what we're doing. You know, it's not the day where a physician says, you know, do this, and a patient says okay. You know, there's a lot of reasons why, and we as a profession need to get better at explaining it, and then we need to have our population be better at understanding it, because if they're going to ask the questions, then they need to understand sort of what it is we're saying.
Mm-hmm. We're talking to Dr. Brown of Griffin Hospital, and Dr. Brown, another thing I noticed, which I think you and I talked on a little bit, maybe a week ago, Connecticut is reporting a large stockpile of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. About 125,000 doses are just sitting in our state. Are you shocked? Are you surprised that people just don't want to get the J&J vaccine after the pause?
I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
You know, it's very unfortunate, you know, considering it's a very good vaccine. You know, the side effects, you know, are not that much different than Moderna and Pfizer. I think the pause really hurt the distribution of that vaccine. And again, it's a very good vaccine, and the fact that you only need to get one shot with it. So we talked about this last week. I mean, when we talked about the complications associated, we talked about a number less than 10, you know, based on over 7 million people who actually received it.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I think it was a little bit too aggressive to put it as a pause. And I think in turn, we've had this whole, you know, group of people who now say, I'm not going to get it.
Right. And I think it even trickles down to not just the J&J vaccine. I mean, I've even had friends who said, great, you got the Pfizer, but who's to say that you won't now develop some? You know, I think it's not just the J&J. I think that the pause very well could have led to now people just not trusting the vaccine in general, any of them.
Right. And we are at that phase where, you know, we're at that phase where the people who are, you know, the early adopters, the people who are first in line to make this happen have already gotten it, mm-hmm. you know, and then the late adopters are sort of are currently getting it. And now we're sort of the people who are, you know, skeptical or have been convinced to be skeptical in relation to it. And that's a hard population to get into and have get. But again, people don't see what we see in the healthcare world. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you see a 45-year-old female die for no reason, it's life changing, mm-hmm. you know. And you want to sort of scream on the mountaintop and say, get your vaccine. Mm-hmm. You know, if she got her vaccine, she wouldn't have died.
Mm-hmm. No, and you know, Dr. Brown, it's so true. And I was talking about how today is National Nurses Appreciation Day, and right. and the fact that no one, unless they work on those COVID floors, has absolutely any idea what healthcare workers have seen just this last year. Forget all the years that you guys have worked at a hospital. Mm-hmm. The things that you guys have seen this year has just been beyond what anyone could ever comprehend. And you know, and I'll tell my friends all the time, COVID was one of the worst experiences of my life. And it wasn't something that was just 10 days and it was over. It lasted for 4 or 5 months for me, you know, psychologically, even just right. like the body aches, was about 6 weeks afterwards. Like COVID knocked me out for 5 months. And I'm still, even to this, you know, to this day, trying to take vitamin D supplements, trying to take zinc, trying to eat well, exercise, drink a lot of water. Like, COVID's not done yet with my immune system. And it's crazy to me that unless you have experienced it firsthand, I don't think anyone has any idea how bad COVID really is.
Right. Absolutely. And again, mm-hmm. it's not, I mean, that's sort of the repercussions of it. I mean, I think of when you come in comparison to getting a vaccine with mm-hmm. the chance of potentially having a side effect versus, you know, dealing with what you've been dealing with, Melissa, it's, you know, I think you're out there telling sort of the same thing. You know, this is bad stuff, guys. If
yeah.
there's a way to prevent it from happening, you know, get it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's really important.
So we know Moderna was working on the vaccine for younger children. We know Pfizer just earlier this week was saying they were waiting. I think as early as next week, the FDA could be issuing an emergency use authorization for the vaccine for kids 12 to 15. Now, Dr. Brown, I'm hearing that they're trying to get the emergency use authorization for kids 2 to 11 by September, which is right in the beginning of the school year. I have to imagine doctors and state leaders are going to now be pushing our kids to get vaccinated in the school year. I would imagine that's coming.
And I think the, when we talked about this, I think the older, you know, the older children, it's going to be really important. The question is going to be, and we'll have to see sort of how this pans out. The question is going to be, is there going to be a little spot or a potential spot where the virus is still retaining within our society. So let me explain. So we've talked about herd immunity.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about people, you know, receiving the vaccine, and if they receive the vaccine, then they protect other people. But herd immunity is not 100%. If you have a high percentage, the likelihood that it's going to spread around becomes significantly lower.
Mm-hmm.
But you can still get pockets of infection. And considering how ill you can get from this and the mortality associated with it, the, you know, giving vaccines to children may prevent these sort of outbreaks and preventing it from going on. And again, the more outbreaks that we get, the more mutations that we potentially have, the more likely we can have a bigger outbreak and potentially even repeat of the pandemic. And I think that is the concern that's going on. Now, again, the research is still a little limited in that, so
mm-hmm.
I'm glad we're waiting until sort of September. So we'll have to keep a close eye on that.
It's a little confusing, Dr. Brown, only because, you know, we're getting mixed messages, I think, in the media mostly. You know, you hear President Biden wants to send Pfizer vaccines overseas, understandably so, to countries like India that are totally struggling to even get any of them. And the reason being is, look, we're getting our adults vaccinated. We have the surplus to do so. We don't need to be using them on kids right now. Let's send them overseas. But then you hear from Pfizer, who's like, no, we're finding kids are now the ones in the hospitals, which I have not heard anything really about that, at least in Connecticut. But they're saying, no, you know, like they're the ones who are now going to be really, really sick. But my confusion, other than children who have medical reasons, underlying conditions, anything like that, immunocompromised, if their parents are vaccinated, like even if our kids, like if Chase comes home with COVID, I mean, Derek and I would not get it from him, right? Or I mean, we're not 100% covered, obviously, but like, I just don't know really the reasoning as to why it's so important to get kids vaccinated at this point.
I don't think it's, and then again, I agree with you. I don't necessarily think that it's important to get children vaccinated at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I think, but it also needs to be licensed for those who are at high risk.
Sure.
And if you don't have that age of children, and if you do not have that sort of, if you don't have that approval, then you can't do it.
Right.
And I think that becomes a bigger issue, you know, children in children's hospitals with illnesses, et cetera. You know, is it going to be a mass vaccination? Again, I don't think so. For children, I don't think so.
Okay.
There is still a concern, and it's a limited concern because children don't carry the same viral load. They don't get sick from it. They don't get sick from it. There is still concern that if you have a child at home that has COVID-19, so if Chase does come home and that you are at risk of getting COVID-19. Now, the good news is that because you've been vaccinated, the likelihood that you're going to get a severe infection is very low, if not zero.
Right.
So it'd be like it'd be more like a common cold.
Which is the big reason why I'm a proponent of the vaccine. It's certainly not to shame anyone, because look, I understand there are people who have medical reasons who can't get the vaccine. I know that this feels like it's very new. I know you and I have talked about the fact that mRNA, that's been around since the 90s, but I don't know if people always know that. But it's certainly not to shame anyone. It's really just to understand that, look, if I were to contract COVID again, now that I have the vaccine, like you said, it's going to be a lot more minor. I'm not going to end up in a hospital bed, and I'd much rather be at home dealing with a head cold than ending up in the hospital or on a ventilator.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, like that's the risk that you sort of take when you don't get vaccinated. I think that's the bigger thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the importance. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, since the start of COVID-19 and the start of this pandemic, we do know that you get a lot of mixed messages from the media. And I think people like yourself who are in the media sort of getting the truth out there is really important, and getting that truth out that, listen, you know what, don't be distracted by the company that wants to, you know, and again, I don't want to talk bad at Pfizer. They really helped us out a lot. But I mean, obviously, they want to continue to sell their vaccine.
Of course they do. But like to say that kids are overriding our hospital beds, that's just not true. Like, I'm like, I haven't heard anything about that. Yeah. That's just not true.
Yeah, me neither.
Okay. All right. Well, Dr. Brown, honestly, the only reason we could get the truth out is because you partner with us each and every single week. And I thank you so much for coming on again this morning and talking more about this. We'll talk again next week.
My pleasure, Melissa.
You have a great day.